This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I know that people have been paying, I was paying very close attention to the fact that the Obamacare enrollment period is coming to an end, and there's been commercials on from H&R Block, and I'm sure a lot of people are now visiting various tax preparers to try to figure out how this is going to affect them in April, or businesses as well. This is a lot of fear, I think, that's being ginned up about what people can expect if they don't sign up for the Affordable Care Act. And it was $90 last year, or $95 last year. Now it's going to be $325, or 2% of your gross income, whichever is higher, according to the IRS. But let's really break that down, because when you talk about how much it costs for an Affordable Care Act plan versus the fine that you'll potentially have to pay, I'm not sure that the benefits or the fear is really valid or should cause people to run without thinking into the Obamacare system. I mean, the bronze plan, which is the lowest plan in their cafeteria of offerings, is well over $1,000 for a family of four and upwards of $24,000 per year out of pocket for a family of four. And nothing has changed. It's not like it's gotten cheaper to actually use the insurance, and it actually has become more expensive. So the out-of-pocket costs have risen. The premiums are expected to rise even more so. 6% is what they said. But I think it's probably higher. We're not hearing anything about that right now, just like how the Affordable Care Act was shoved down our throats. We're only hearing what they want us to hear. And right now, it's all about the fear. At the beginning, it was all about the carrot. It's going to be fabulous. You don't have to pay anything. The government will subsidize you. And now, it's all about do it or we'll bankrupt you. The IRS will come after you. And let's talk about honesty for a second. Even though this Affordable Care Act has been out and about for the past year or so, year and a half, it's not cracking up to what it's not doing what it said it's going to do. Even if you do have it, there are now many more doctors who've wakened and smelled the coffee about how horrible this insurance plan is. And there are colleagues now that I've spoken to that didn't really pay attention to the warnings that, hey, you might take this insurance, but you're not going to get paid. Now reality check is set in. They're now looking at their bottom line and realizing that they didn't get paid for the patients that they saw under the Affordable Care Act, and they're now instructing their front office to stop taking it. That means there's going to be fewer doctors this round that are going to be able to, or willing to, or be able to take this insurance, which means you're going to have less choice, wait longer, pay for the privilege. It just is not working the way they say it's working. Now, if the thought process behind the Affordable Care Act was to lower costs by limiting access, then it's done a fabulous job, and I absolutely agree. If for anybody who's a proponent of it, it's working wonderfully. No question about that. It's limited your ability to see a doctor. It's limited what the doctor can do for you. It's limited the choice on medications that you're prescribed. It's a joke. And it's gone right into the sinkhole of Medicaid and Medicare, which is really what it is. If you really want to break it down to what you're getting, it's just Medicaid for all. We talked about this before on the show. But how do we get ourselves out of this? Now that you, if you really do your due diligence, and I really hope that you do, don't take my word for it, read. What do you do? How do you get out of it? Do you really have to jump into this abyss and lose your autonomy? This is not something that you just do and then come out of without being scathed. I don't think that's the case. I don't know if you saw the article, Dave, that the government has created an NSA-style database of all the health information that's gleaned from electronic medical records and Obamacare. Have you read that article?
No, I haven't. As you were talking, Dr. George, I looked up something. I want to read something to you. And see what your three, if this $325 or whatever you wind up paying, if this fits this definition, and then I'll let you fit the word to the definition. The practice of obtaining something, especially money, through force or threats. That's the definition of what they're doing with Obamacare, isn't it? Either pay a penalty, which you get nothing for, or we're going to come after you. I think the word is extortion.
You can, first it was bribe, now it's extortion. It's the same thing. You're being taxed, and you don't have, you're not getting anything for your money in return, and it's fraud. It's fraud perpetrated from the top down.
It's a threat.
Of this thing.
It's a threat that we're going to do this if you don't do this.
Remember, they hired 80,000 tax new IRS agents in this bill. That was part of what the Affordable Care Act mandated or paid for. I was on a talk show yesterday, and they asked me, you know, what's the bottom line? How did this affect Medicare? And that was one of the questions I got. And the question was, and the answer was, they took $700 billion from Medicare in order to set up the infrastructure for Obamacare. And that affects Medicare in a very stark way. If you don't have enough money to run it, then services stop being offered. And that's where you've come up with palliative care, hospice, letters back to physicians and hospitals saying that it was not, quote, medically necessary. And that's where fraud and abuse becomes the catchword for Medicare, because they're doing everything they can to seize money and claw it back from services that were faithfully and honestly rendered by doctors and hospitals. And they're trying to run this thing on the backs of the patients. And they're telling you how lucky you are, how fortunate you should feel to have this. And if you don't like it, then there's something wrong with you and you're racist and you want people to die, when in actuality, the system is set up for people to die sooner without accessing the system, so it costs less. I mean, it's Orwellian, really. I mean, they say one thing, but the actuality is that don't watch what they say, watch what they do. That's really what people need to pay attention to. And we do have choices. One is to definitely opt out of the system. If you're young and healthy, or you are older and healthy, I don't think Obamacare is the right choice for you. If you really think about this, why don't you think about medical cost sharing? Why don't you think about, medical cost sharing is like the major thing, because it doesn't involve anybody having access to your health care. Or maybe you want to do a direct pay practice where you're paying $50 a month or $60 a month, which pales in comparison to paying the Obamacare premiums. And if you really wanted to add in the fine, you'd actually still come out ahead and pay less. But you know what? Your information would be protected, and your privacy would be sacrosanct. And whatever your doctor and you decided needed to get done, and what medicines you were on, and what your diagnosis was, would remain in the doctor's office and not on some sort of cloud, which, of course, we know is not private.
It's deplorable. There was a gentleman that couldn't sleep. This was on Fox the other day. I don't know if you saw this or not, maybe?
I read it. Yes, I did.
And he couldn't sleep, so he went to the emergency room, and they gave him something, and that didn't work, so he went back, and I think they even hospitalized him. But the next knock on the door was, "We want your guns."
Actually, it's even worse than that. It was a veteran, actually. And he went to the VA, and he said, it was just a couple of days of insomnia, and they gave him something called Trazodone, it can be used for sleep. It's sometimes considered to be a psych medication, but it's usually to help people sleep at night because they can't. And then the next thing you knew, yes, they were knocking on his door, taking his guns, and rescinding his gun permit. So that goes to show you that your privacy, he just went to a doctor's visit. And the next thing he was basically swatted. So your information is not private. at all. The medications that you take, as I predicted months ago, it will probably flag you in such a way that if you want to get a legal weapon, if you want to maybe work for the government, who knows, it might actually torpedo your chances of doing these things. Because the diagnosis precedes everything. The medication precedes everything. It is no longer individualized. It's an algorithm. So if you take a medication, and I use the analogy of taking something like Chantix, which is, or Wellbutrin, which is an antidepressant medicine, but you use it for people who to stop smoking, they won't care that you've been diagnosed with, you know, it's being used to help you stop smoking. The bigger picture is it's used for depression, so you must have a psych diagnosis, and that's what they think. They don't ask questions, they just assume. That's a problem. That's going to become a major problem in society. And now that we now have a Surgeon General who's all about, you know, gun control and saying that it's one of the you know, major issues in health in our country, that's only going to ramp up. I mean, this is like a puzzle that's now fitting together very nicely for the people who have an agenda.
It's my understanding that our new Surgeon General, although he is an MD, he doesn't practice medicine. Is that?
That's probably true. He's probably more of a public health side than an actual clinician, which is the case with all of these people writing these bills and being in these think tanks and making pronouncements that they know what's best for us. These are not people on the front line who have to see patients every day, who have to make a payroll, who understand the cost, the real cost of medical care. These aren't people like that. These are people who have a theoretical approach to everything that they do. There's no real-world experience. It's what they think is best, what they sit around and come up with. And it never works. I mean, to this point, there's nothing in Obamacare that I can see, that I've read, and that I'm living at this point, that has facilitated health care, that has made it cheaper, that has made it easier to take care of a patient, that has made individualized care the focal point, and the doctor-patient, it's not about that at all. It's about people who decide, and look at the UK, the perfect example. They're now considering obesity to be, I forget what they called it, but the doctors now have to literally tag a patient. They have to put it in their chart that they have obesity. And that, of course, triggers a whole thing that the patient is now, you know, on a list. You know, they're going to now watch, I'm sure, it will come down to if they're on any kind of social services, if they're getting any kind of money from the government that involves food, it'll ask them what they're eating, follow, track them, make sure that they're not eating foods that are keeping them obese. It's going to take away their right to run their lives because it's costing the system too much money. That's what this comes down to. And as I said before, doctors will become the police of this system. If they don't like it, then they might end up in peer review or run out of business because they are outside of the norm of what doctors prescribe, of what they diagnose, how long it takes their patients to get better. You know, if they're ordering CT scans that are considered to be superfluous because someone's too old, they have a disease, that they're going to die anyway, they're going to flag doctors and make them toe the line. It will be done under pressure and duress. And you're right. This is all about coercion. The system is not driven by altruism. It's driven by coercion. And that's not health care. Now, that's not even a society that anybody should want to live in, frankly. And everything they do at this point is trying to shut people up or dumb them down or somehow control their behavior and their voice. And it's not right. This is not the society that people want to live in, if you really ask them.
Dr. George, you want to stop on that and take a break?
Absolutely.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, if we extrapolate the direction that our country's going in terms of healthcare, this is no question at this point that this is a socialized system that we're adopting. And I don't think there should be any doubt about that. The centralization of healthcare is an example. The fact that there are committees that have been formed that are controlling clinical judgment, you know, evidence-based medicine, the fact that we have algorithms now, the treatment algorithms, that if you get a disease, there is written in stone now how it should be treated, what medicines, how long, and they're now doing a bait and switch with hospitals. I mean, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for them in the big picture, because welcome to our world as the individual doctor, where the government promised something and then did the opposite. The reimbursement rate for Medicare and Medicaid has now dropped. And the hospitals who got on board initially, who said 30 million people were going to flood the system and the hospitals and would reap the benefits of having people come in, that they would use the emergency rooms less and use these accountable care organizations and medical homes more often. This is not panning out either. And the doctors on the primary care side, who really had this mindset of all the money is going to the specialists, so we deserve more money, because, you know, they basically sold their medical brethren out for a buck is what they did. And they were promised more money, which they did get for a couple of years, but now it's on the agenda that they're going to get 40% decrease in their reimbursement coming up, and I think this year, actually. And that's going to devastate them. So they basically brought all these doctors into the system promising them things, and now it's never going to happen. And now we have a profession that's really been moralized, devastated, and used for a bigger picture that has nothing to do with what we train to do. I mean, we've had this conversation before. They want the doctors who care about the Hippocratic Oath and care about their patients out of the profession. I don't think anybody can argue that either. And they're doing it by pricing us out, by making regulations and mandates so onerous and so expensive that it makes better sense for many doctors to retire, or what a lot of doctors have done, get a paycheck and join a hospital or sell their practice to the hospital. I mean, that's what's happened to the healthcare system, and it's exacerbated access. I think we've talked about it once before, but I want people to understand, when a doctor sells their practice to a hospital, they have to take on the pricing scale of what the hospital charges. you don't longer get to charge what you want. You no longer get to say to a patient who comes to you and says, you know what, I really can't afford this. Can we make a deal? That doctor is not allowed to do that. They have to. They're working for the hospital. So what's happened is the price has gone up. Patients who've been in the care of a doctor for 20 years, 30 years in some instances, have had to leave the practice because they can't afford to pay the new rates that that practice charges. The other side is that practice has gotten so many more patients that the waiting list to get in to see the doctor is horrendous. So we were talking about six, seven, 8 weeks or longer to see doctors, whether they're internal medicine, forget specialists like endocrinologists or ENTs, you know, that sort of thing. It's just gotten longer. And then when you get in to see them, they spend maybe, I think the average now is 11 minutes, and maybe even shorter by now, that you actually get to interact with your doctor. And, you know, there's only so many patients that a doctor can actually see. And let's be honest, and actually be able to talk to the patient, take care of them, answer their questions, and do a good job. You can't do that seeing 30 people a day. It's not possible. And the only way that you can do that is if you walk in a room, write a prescription, and walk out. And patients have told me that they've been assigned to doctors or seen, gone to, especially specialists, never met the doctor, only got seen by the physician assistant. And when the doctor, if they were capable of seeing the doctor, they didn't talk to them and didn't examine them. There's no physical examinations really happening anymore. This is a joke. I mean, you're expecting somebody, when you walk into an office, you have about three layers of people before the doctor gets there. You need a medical assistant to take the information, to log it into the computer, maybe a physician assistant to come in and confirm what the medical assistant put in the computer. Then the doctor comes in, looks it over, asks you, you know, a couple of questions maybe, and then writes a prescription and out the door. I don't understand how that's medicine, but that's the system that we're living under. And the flip side of the ER is worse. So you walk in, you may have a catastrophic illness. You're not seeing a medical doctor who's ER board certified trained on average. And you're seeing somebody who's looking at an iPad and trying to make a diagnosis. And I've gotten some really interesting things with people coming into my office, and I've said it before, who've been misdiagnosed, who spent hours and money in the ER and basically have come out with a misdiagnosis. And it's shocking. I mean, this is reality that we're dealing with. The only way out of this is not Congress. I think we can both say this safely, Dave. I don't depend anymore on Congress to help fix this situation. The move to reinstate the Speaker means to me that it's business as usual. They've already said they're going to fund Obamacare through the end of the year. So everything that they've said they were going to do to fight it have just been null and void. And if we depend on this for the next couple of years to get better, then we're going to end up feeding this system and breaking the old system irretrievably. And I think that we have options, that we don't have to do that.
You know, I agree with you regarding Congress. I think, being the optimist that I am, they've got about 12 months, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, to see if they do anything, if the Senate will do anything, and if the House will do anything. But other than that, the way it looks as of yesterday, like we talked off mic, same song, second dance. And I think the American people are waking up to the fact that the whole system is broken. It's not just one portion of it. It's everything that's broken.
All you have to do is follow the money. I mean, this is a crony-driven system where it's friends of friends. It's what you can do for me and how much money you can give me to make me toe the line. This is not about what we as citizens of the country want. We voted the way we wanted to have things go, and they've just completely ignored what we wanted on all fronts. You know, we have corporations driving policy driving regulations, and they're not in our favor. I mean, you look at the Monsanto and the genetically modified, corporate food industry. They're now trying to outlaw heirloom seeds for people sharing seeds. So farmers who actually have, you know, seeds that are not tainted with genetically modified genes, they're no longer going to be allowed. Well, I don't know if it's hopefully not passed yet, but the goal is to stop them from sharing their heirloom banked seeds with each other. It's going to become illegal to do that. So the only game in town will be genetically modified stocks of seeds. I mean, and those corporations have come after farmers who their seeds, you know, they've cross-pollinated and tainted non-GMO farms. And they've been sued for, you know, robbing their intellectual property. And in some cases have won it. I mean, so this is not a system that's based on fairness. Even though they keep using the F word, it's not. It's not based on what the country wants and what we voted for. It's completely ignored on all fronts. And the fact that the opposition basically doubles down, they pay lip service to, you know, pulling things back and stopping it, but they allow things to go forward. I mean, before the break, that was a great example of how the system really, if you really were paying attention, you would have been just nauseated by it. The last-minute jiu-jitsu move by the Republicans, I think it was the Senator Cruz, did some sort of backdoor thing that allowed every appointee that had been on the waiting, you know, they had held all these appointees up, all of them got confirmed, including the Surgeon General. Tell me that, you're a congressman, you don't know what you're doing, that you can actually exacerbate a situation. I don't believe that you didn't know that. I just don't. I mean, why would you be up there if you don't know exactly what you're doing and you ended up shooting yourself in the foot and everybody else for that matter? I just don't think it's innocent anymore. I don't know about you, but it's who stands to gain and was this person promised something so they can run for 2016? It's all about positioning.
I think the people, in quotes, have one option at this point. Well, they have one option. One is they have to take care of themselves, which in turn means one other thing, and that is we had the situation here in Georgia that three of our new representatives had stated prior to the election, we will not support, I will not vote for Boehner to be continue being Speaker of the House. All three of them voted for him yesterday.
Really?
So my thing is, as individuals, you've got to take care of your health. You've got to do it. And as far as getting changes done, if any of those representatives, and we are going to take them to task on shows coming up, and monitor what they said and what they got elected on and what they actually do. But if any one of those three, none of them are my representatives, they're not in my district, or I'm not in their district, but everybody in that district that voted for them should be on the phone irate. You lied to us, we voted for you, you lied to us, and now we're going to hold you accountable for every time you go to the bathroom.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and that's the only way we're ever going to stop it. Uh-oh, we have run out of time, Dr. George. It's time for another one of our breaks.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elana George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you'll not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, we've talked a lot in the show right now about how the problem is, you know, we know what the problem is. I said it briefly, but I want to repeat it. The most important thing that we can do is to take, and Dave said it before the break, take control of our choices, all of our choices. Everything counts. You know, silence and acquiescence is complicit. It makes it continue. It allows you to passively approve what they're doing. Just like Dave said, if you happen to be in those congressmen happen to be your congressmen, I would be calling them. Actually, I still may call them today to give them a piece of my mind, because what they did is completely ignore you. They took you for granted. They used you to get in there. Now they're going to get paid for what they did. Think about what Boehner did. The people who voted against him have been summarily removed from their posts. They've been punished. So this is a fiefdom, a kingdom that in there that everybody's a yes person in order to keep a job, in order to keep a Senate seat, or not seat, but to keep any of their committees, and to have power within the system. And power means that someone has to come to you for a favor, and they're going to give you something for it. That's what lobbyists do. Think about this. We've been hijacked, really, as a country. We've got the Pope on one hand telling us how to run our foreign policy. Now we're, you know, with Cuba. We've got Mexico telling us, you know, that we should let people into our country and that we're wrong to not do it, when they, total hypocrites, won't let anybody else from South America come into their country because they're protecting their borders. But we're the only people not allowed to do it. I mean, where do we stand? Why do we even vote then if we told them we don't like a majority of the country, I don't care if it's black, white, or green, don't like the direction that it's going, yet they double down on it. Someone has to be accountable. Someone has to pay a price. It never happens. I don't understand why that is. But instead of us getting more up in arms, I think the most efficient way to make our voices heard is to stop giving them what they want, and that is our cooperation. And that starts, I said it until I'm blue in the face, stop going to that stupid scanner in the airport. That is the first thing you can do to protect yourself. There is, again, no studies to say that it's safe. You have TSA people running essentially a machine that can radiate you with terahertz. They have no idea whether or not it unzips the DNA. They don't calibrate those machines. who knows what a dose you're getting. And I've also seen people go through those things and then be searched anyway when they come out the other side. What's the point? There is no point, except they want you to stand like sheep on a line, be, you know, taken for granted, used, abused, and like it. This is all setting us up to continue to just be sheep. They're doing it to your kids in school. They run the show. They get to decide in California whether your kid gets a vaccine, whether they get sex education as a kindergartner. All these things that they're taking control of your child, and they are indoctrinating them. I mean, I think there was something in school where they had some sort of, I don't know if it was a film or it was some sort of, I can't remember what the mode of it was, but the upshot was, the film showed the child grabbing the parent's gun and turning it into the teacher. I'm sure that's going to work out. When some kid walks in with their parent's gun, they call in the SWAT team, and the kid gets, you know what's going to happen when a kid has a gun these days. What kind of thing is that? That means you're working as an agent for the government and the school in your own home against your parent. I mean, this doesn't even make sense to me anymore. But ultimately, we have to stop depending on somebody to take care of us, whether it be the school, the government, even doctors. I have to put it bluntly. You know, if you don't feel that your child needs an immunization, then stand up for yourself. And if you don't want a flu shot, then you stand up for yourself. And if that practice wants to fire you, you should be happy about it. Or you should find another doctor. You know, I just gave you an example of people going to doctors and not being cared for. Well, if you don't like that system, then you leave it. Vote with your pocketbook, for God's sake. Find an independent practice, direct care practice. And I can assure you, once they start to really grow and people start talking to their friends about how fabulous their experience was, how little they paid, this major system will stop doing what it's doing. It'll stop taking you for granted. It'll stop treating you like you're a piece of meat. And God forbid, when you get to be older, that you're a useless piece of meat. It won't do it anymore. But you have to make the first step. Anybody who's listening to the show must know by now that if you stop using your insurance, you know, except for catastrophic things, let's say, you know, obviously you need something to carry. But for the day-to-day, for small things, for routine visits, if you were to spend money out of your own pocket instead of accessing your insurance, you'd be amazed how much more value you would get, how much better care you would get, how much attention and detailed services you would get. You would not even want to use your insurance card. I mean, make a change. Why don't you do that once this year? Try that. Go to a direct pay practice or a practice that doesn't take insurance at all, and use it. It's going to be cheaper than you using your $1,500 deductible or $2,000 deductible. It's a joke. And see if I'm right. I can assure you that I am, but why don't you try it? You know, or instead of, if your doctor sends you for a CT scan, instead of using your insurance, go to one or tell them, look, I just want to find out how much it is if I don't have insurance, and find that it's about 50 or 60% less than what the suggested rate is. I mean, these are all things that are happening now. You don't have to wait for Congress to help you or not help you in this case. You can handle your own business. You can choose medical cost sharing. I saw a patient, finally, in my practice, thank goodness, who has on Liberty Health Share. And we had to do a procedure, and it's the first time that we've used it, or I'm on it, but I've never had a patient come to me until this point. And we called the Liberty Health Share to find out, you know, we had to let them know what we were going to do. And all they asked for was, okay, what services do you want to render? The patient's shared amount is $500, which is what the shared amount for everybody within Liberty Health Share is. And after she pays that, she's covered at 100%. Then they hung up. There was no pre-cert. There was no, why do you want to do it? We need paperwork. We had to dot I's. None of that stuff happened. She was ecstatic. So were we. And I'm ready and willing to see just Liberty Health Share patients in my practice because it makes medicine fun. because I don't have to beg to treat my patients, and they can afford to see me. That's how this system needs to work. Liberty HealthShare is allowed under the Affordable Care Act, as is MediShare and Samaritan. Those are the three medical car sharing organizations that are grandfathered in under the Affordable Care Act. For the first two, you have to belong to a church. You need to get a letter from your pastor in order to access their system. Liberty HealthShare, you do not. As long as you're liberty-minded, as long as you have some want to take responsibility for your own health, and that you're an honest person who doesn't want to game a system, you're in. And I'm about to join as my practice. And instead of wasting money with insurance companies, where it's going to deny us that they're going to have to pay $2,000 or $3,000 out of pocket, they want to be able to afford to go to the doctor. This is a strategy that I, as a small business, and I believe that if more small businesses and large knew about this, they would opt out of the commercial insurance sham. It's a total scam. The scheme, basically. And you would be within the law. You would not be fined. And you could actually keep money in your pocket. I mean, why are you spending money for things that you don't need? Whether that be pediatric dentistry, whether that be abortion services. I don't know if you heard this one, Dave, but Medicare is now paying for sex changes in 70-some-odd-year-old people. Now, this is a system that's just gone totally haywire. So you wouldn't spend money on somebody who needs a hip replacement or cancer care, but you'll spend over $100,000 easy for one person to have a sex change in their 70s. This is a system. It's completely ridiculous. It's running on a social agenda, which, you know, live and let live. But if people have issues with paying for things that are not needed, then they should be able to say, I don't want to pay for that, and not be dinged. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I don't know if you heard that story, did you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. And I got to ask. Okay, the person goes in for the sex change. In my opinion, they got to be crazy. So, are they going to get their guns taken away?
No, no. But you and I are going to pay for it.
Well,
incredible, huh?
Yeah, it's beyond. And you know, this is your medical panel that's making these kind of idiotic decisions. You know, I personally, if some yo-yo wants to go have a sex change, power to you, one way or the other, whichever way they want to go. But that's not my problem. That's their problem. They should figure out how to pay for it. They should go to a different country. They should, you know, if they want it, that's fine. That's their business. But it's not the government's business, as you've mentioned many times, and as other folks are talking more and more. The government does not need to be in the healthcare industry, period.
No.
In any shape, form, or fashion, be it from abortions to, like you said, gender changes, anything else. The government, it's not their business.
The government shouldn't be in a lot of things. They should be limited to protection, to, and unfortunately, I guess we can't get rid of it, taxation. You know, it's really things that are about protecting the whole of the country. But states should have rights. I mean, this is part of our Constitution, is it not? And the fact that states' rights, individual rights, are usurped by interests that stand to gain when we lose, that's a problem. That's a problem.
It's a big
and
problem.
When you're talking about education, you're talking about the future of the country, where you've got, you know, this Common Core curriculum, which is, it's a bigger picture. This is not just the United States that pays for sex changes. This is part of the United Kingdom system, too. It's a global system. This is not our healthcare system anymore. We've just entered, or we're trying to push us into, the United Nations World Health Organization healthcare system. So just look at the UK, and you can figure out where we're going. Now there's a story, an article about there's not enough access for people to receive healthcare. You know, ER, any kind of surgeries, everything. The waiting list is exponentially increased over the past several years. And people can't even get in to get care. How does that work? Universal health care doesn't work, period. It doesn't work in any of the countries that people have said that it's working in. It's been privatized. You've got a dual system in Sweden. You've got, you know, private overseers in Germany, UK. You've got people who don't get care at all. And, you know, if you get sick, you basically have to treat yourself until you're half dead. And then when you finally do need their help, you have to wait forever. I mean, is that really worth the money that you're paying into your taxes to get? That's what we're going to do, too. It's silly, and it's unnecessary. But you know what? I'm all about live and let live. If the people want Obamacare, then I think those people should have it. I think they should have it 24/7. Good for you. But as a patient, as a doctor, I don't want it. And I always want the choice, the right, to make my own choice. That's what this is about. And until unless they take it away from us, we really do need to be very aggressive about going for our own, making our own choices. If you don't know, you can't make a choice. If you choose to go into Obamacare, I really wish you luck. But what we just talked about with direct pay practices, with medical cost sharing, with secondary insurances like Aflac, again, you can buy a policy for about $14 to $20 a month that will pay you if you get sick with cancer, if you end up in an ICU, if you have a heart attack, if you get hit by a truck. They won't ask questions. They will cut a check for $250,000, $500,000, and you can actually afford to go where you want to go because money will no longer be the problem. I think that's a huge investment, a very cheap investment to make that will give you peace of mind. They won't turn you down. They won't turn down when you actually have to make a claim. There won't be all sorts of hurdles you have to jump through. That's what the insurance company does. When you finally need your insurance, they always come up with some reason that you have to wait to get it, that it's denied, that it's not covered, that it's not medically necessary. The list of letters we've gotten over the years from insurance companies denying care is tragic. And, of course, the patient blames the doctor, like, we did it. We didn't do it. It's the insurance company. I really want to work with patients who understand this now, because it's about being a partner with your patient. Anybody or anything that sits in the middle of it, I'm just not willing to deal with anymore. And I'm not alone. There'll be plenty more doctors down the pipe who figure this out, if they're still open, who figure this out, that it doesn't work and that the game just... step away from the table. And if we all, only, if guess about it, 5% people did this, Dave, it would change the mindset of the main healthcare system. And it would have to adjust because it would have competition, which is what it thrives on. It thrives on removing competition. Medicare, Medicaid is becoming the central part of healthcare delivery in our country. And they want the commercial insurances to fall in line, which of course they are because they pay them. And we have supplemental insurance, AARP type of insurance that's being underwritten by Humana or Blue Cross or whatever. They basically just ceded their control to Medicaid and Medicare and for a check. And when they do that, doctors get paid less, patients get less services, and the whole system just drops down another level, never to return. So I can't stress it enough. I mean, I don't know what else to say except explore these things. Go on the website. Go to libertyoncall.org. Go to MediShare. Go to MediBid. Go to aapsonline.org. Start doing your own due diligence and make your own decision. Do not let somebody else. Don't let me. Don't let the government tell you what to do. That's my New Year's advice for you, because this year is going to be a very interesting one. I think there's going to be a lot of people on the outside looking in and who thought that they were comfortable and thought that this would never touch them, but it's coming for you. If you have an employer-based insurance, you may not by the end of the year. You may be in, you know, having a choice of an exchange versus, you know, I hope you pick something else, but that may be your choice.
And the only choice, unfortunately.
It's not. It never is. That's where the medical cost sharing, that's an option. That is a valid option and choice that you can actually make that will get you out of this one-size-fits-all. Yeah?
It is. You hit it right on the head. It's going to be interesting. There are going to be a lot of slaps in the face. The cold, wet hand slap in the face that people have just sort of skated along without taking the time to do anything, and they're going to be the ones that are yelling the loudest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking too, Dr. George, I would love to hear from folks that they can send me an email, and I'll make sure that it gets to Dr. George. If you've had a run-in with an insurance company, tell us the tell about that. If, on the other hand, you've gone to and decided, you know, we did this over the holidays. We made the choice of, do we go to, well, going to an emergency room wasn't even an option. Going to our regular primary care physician was an option, except the hours were not there, and my family got bronchitis and the flu, so we went to our beautiful North Atlanta urgent care. We love them, and you know, we didn't use anything other than a checkbook, and that was it.
And you got seen by a board certified emergency room medicine physician.
Right.
I mean, that in itself is amazing in terms of urgent care or a ER setting. They're like gold now. It's like diamonds. You have to try to find these guys. But there's a difference. Not everybody is trained to do everything. That's the problem, too, with the system, is that you have people outside of their scope of practice on the front line where they have to make choices and make decisions and make diagnoses that affect you.
You know, I got to throw in one thing, and you and I have been friends now for a number of years, and you know me as probably the biggest racist going. But it's also nice to go in and talk to a doctor that speaks English. Hello? Did I say that? I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with that. And the reason that is because the system, again, we're talking about money. Follow the money. The medical schools have contracted with the government, with countries, to fill their seats with foreign graduates. They get paid to do so. So if there's a certain number of seats held in residencies for these guys, a certain number of seats held in medical schools, the foreign medical schools, especially the Caribbean, it's a pipeline to the United States. Part of their clerkship and their residencies are in the United States. Listen, I'm not making a blanket statement because it's not everybody, but I've dealt with some of these foreign medical school people, and I'm not impressed, okay? If you can't tell me how to do a shorthand to write a prescription, you don't know what it means, I have a question about that. You know, I just don't think that they're trained in the same way. Hell, I don't think medical school students are trained in the same way that we trained 15 years ago. You know, they don't even do anatomy in some schools. They don't practice the Hippocratic. They don't even say the Hippocratic Oath when they graduate. They do virtual anatomy. Are you kidding me? You're going to go look at somebody dissecting a cadaver on a screen, and that's supposed to help you? We have doctors who are coming out who can't do surgery without training wheels because they haven't done enough hands-on. This is not the same medical system that I trained in. And that includes a boatload of people coming in who have they're different social standards, different mores, language barriers. It's a lot of things. I mean, if you can't understand your doctor, they have no respect for you, then that's not healthcare. You know, I mean, this is a system just based on put the body in the chair to do a job and get it done. Don't ask questions. And forget about everything else that we said. If someone's coming from a foreign country into our system, they take a job in a hospital, they're happy to be here. They will do whatever they're told because they want to, because this is better than what they've come from. And they don't have a qualm about pulling a plug or putting someone in palliative care, following a line, because they're, you know, this is, it's under, I wouldn't say it's under duress, but they're getting something that they're very happy to have and they don't want to lose it. That's not a position, that's not a doctor that I want to treat me. I want a doctor to be my advocate, not be happy to get a check or to be in this country. That doesn't work for me. So from my standpoint, the best way to do this is to not get into the system at all. Don't get sick and start taking care of yourself and making better choices. We're going to talk about food choices and environmental choices, but tonight or today we're talking about healthcare choices. Who do you want to treat you? What kind of practice do you want to go to? Do you want to go to one that's going to see 1,000 people a day, where it's a clinic and it's a conveyor belt? Or do you want to go in and actually have a doctor know your first name, know your family, be able to work with you when you're having an economic issue? And you can say to them, look, I'm having a problem this week. Can we make a deal? Or can I pay you in installments and have it mean something? That's how you get people better. It's not, it should never be an adversarial relationship where you're worried about money, they're worried about paying you, you have a past due balance, you don't get seen because of that, they won't release you. I'm not going there. And so if patients decide that they want to go there with me, I'm happy to see those patients. And that's what I mean by a two-tier system. It's being created as we speak. You have a choice now before the government kicks in to make your choice as to what direction you want to go in. But remember, choices matter. And if you decide you want to, I'll just let the wind take me, then you have the choice or the possibility of losing your autonomy, of losing your privacy, of if you really get sick, not really being cared for because you're too old or it's too much of a overwhelming disease for us to bother with. That's the system that we're talking about. So, you can go to my website. I've been writing about this for about 4 years now. And look at the links and start reading. DrElenaGeorge.com. I recommend you go there and start your own process of learning. I did it. Dave's done it. I think it's time that everybody out there, take control of your life, your health, and everything else.
Dr. George, I want to add something to what you just said. You said choices matter. I'd like to put right after that, questions matter. Question. Ask. When you call for an appointment, ask. Where did the doctor get their training? What is the deal on your billing? Do I get to really see the doctor, or is it going to be a PA or a nurse practitioner?
Exactly.
Ask questions. There's nothing wrong with it. And before you make the call, even to the point of what are your hours? What day are you closed? Do you close? If I'm going to use you, I want to know. I want as many answers as I can get before I go in and see somebody. And I know your practice is like that. And, anyway,
yeah.
It's about that time, Dr. George.
It is. Well, hopefully everybody has some homework to do and they'll get out there this week and start the process. It's empowering. When you take control of your life and your health, it's just empowering. Nobody gets to run you when you do that.
That's it. And we appreciate, as always, Dr. George, you being on. And who knows, we might have a surprise for people next week, huh?
Maybe.
All right. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks, Dr. George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.